Welcome to Back Row Catholic Trivia, the Catholic game show that doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm your host, Ren Hain, and joining me today, we have from the Drinking with the Saints podcast, Dr. Michael Foley and Alexandra Foley. Welcome, Mike and Alexandra.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
And from the Holy Donors podcast, Matt Bond. Hey, Matt.
How's it going, Ren? Happy to be here.
And from the Women in Philanthropy podcast, we have Tara Doyon. And joining with her is special guest, her husband, Ron Doyon.
Hello.
Hi, happy to be here.
All right, this is a 10-question quiz show based on topics within and at least vaguely related to the Catholic world. With that, we're going to dive in and get started. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Question number one. Everybody's got their answer boards ready. Question one is multiple choice. This American school's mascot is named Friar Dom and appears as a Dominican friar along with his co-mascot Huxley, a Dalmatian. Is the school College of the Holy Cross, Providence College, Sacred Heart University, or Ohio Dominican University? Ron looks very confident. Don't share your answer yet, though.
I thought I knew. Okay, what's the name again?
Let me read the question one more time. This American school's mascot is named Friar Dom and appears as a Dominican friar along with his co-mascot Huxley, a Dalmatian. Is it College of the Holy Cross, Providence College, Sacred Heart University, or Ohio Dominican University? Matt, do you have this one right?
I don't know. I hope so. I really wish you wouldn't have read it twice because I might have gotten this one over Tara.
How about Foley's? How are you feeling about this one?
Are you ready? We're going to present our answer.
We're very not confident about this one.
Are we all ready to present?
I think I'm ready.
All right, everybody, show your answers. We have Matt saying Ohio Dominican, Tara saying Providence College, Mike and Alexandra saying Ohio Dominican, and Ron, I'm getting
B.
Providence College. Answer B.
Oh.
The correct answer is Providence College.
Oh.
No way.
Is that a Dominican? Is that a Dominican college too?
Yeah.
It is.
I've been there.
I've been there so many times.
You Northerners.
And I knew that right away, but then when you said Ohio Dominican, I had second guessed myself.
Yeah, I mean, that one made it tricky. I think Ron and Tara have lived in the Northeast, and I know Mike and Alexandra have. I didn't know if that would give you an advantage or not.
Did you make up Ohio Dominican? Is there really
Dominican? There really is an Ohio Dominican.
My mom, it's in Columbus. My mom went to school there. But we lived in Connecticut, right next to Rhode Island, so I knew Providence.
So Tara and Ron got that right, correct?
Yes. It's
correct.
Factoid. The college's first mascot in 1935 was a Dalmatian named Friar of What Ho. He represented the Dominicans' nickname of Watchdogs of the Lord. The Friar was introduced as a mascot in 1963, and the original iteration was modeled after Friar Tuck from Robin Hood, a very jolly fellow. But a more serious representation of the Friar was adopted in the early 2000s.
Which is interesting because I feel like Friar Tuck has to be a Franciscan. I mean, with a shaved head and the brown robe and the robe.
Yeah.
If you know anything about the Dominicans, their little mascot is a dog, a black dog, and it has a torch in its mouth.
For all Dominicans.
For all Dominicans.
Yeah. They're the hounds of the Lord.
Yeah.
Dominicanas.
Where were you for the last question?
I just didn't think there was an Ohio Dominican. I guess I did.
Now he knows everything.
If you want to learn more about the Dominicans, you can visit the Drinking with the Saints podcast, episode 1. The Dominicans. All right, are we ready for question number two? Prior to the Second Vatican Council, candles used at Mass were to be composed primarily or to a significant extent of what substance?
Oh, I don't know.
Foley's look happy. Do you feel confident in your answer?
I did it myself. Didn't even need the theology guy.
No. I'll just answer right now. It can only be the whale oil of an endangered species.
You know,
I think. No,
that's
not our official answer.
Substances of, speaking of whales, one of the most prized offshoot or byproduct of whale is ambergris, which is often used in perfumes. So if we're talking about whales, it's very, very highly sought after and often high-end perfumes use ambergris, which when the whales eat the crustaceans. It basically, kind of like an owl pellet, it creates ambergris. I don't know. Sorry. Like,
I'm a big Hartford Whaler fan.
We talk about weird, trivial things. So, I mean, talk about whales and byproducts. That is very expensive and very well known. You should look it up. It's very interesting. It's really gross as well. But yeah.
All right. Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
I've got something.
I got something. I'm not sure I know what's in candles now.
Candles used at Mass would be composed primarily to a significant extent of what substance prior to Vatican II? Reveal your answers. We have the Foleys saying beeswax, Ron, beeswax, Matt, beeswax, Tara, beeswax. Everybody got it correct.
All right.
So prior to Vatican II, beeswax was to be the primary substance within candles used at Mass. However, the current legislation is less specific. The general instruction of the Roman Missal does not address the composition of altar candles directly. Conferences of bishops possess the faculty to determine their makeup, but the USCCB has never employed this faculty to permit materials other than wax in the production of candles. So if candles used in Mass and other liturgical rites in the U.S. must be made of wax and provide a living flame without being smoky or noxious.
Because the USCCB is anti-bee.
Anti-bee?
Yeah.
Save the bees.
I read that on the internet.
We're beekeepers, so we feel really sensitive about this.
Well, we have a dog named Honey, and so we are very in love with the bees as well, and we appreciate bees as well. Because honey is the only food that never goes bad. Ever, ever, ever. It never goes bad.
That and mac and cheese.
Twinkies. Don't forget Twinkies, too.
Oh, McDonald's hamburgers. Shoot.
All right. Are we ready to move on to question number 3? Season 1 of the Holy Donors podcast mentioned Claire Cummings, a radio magician known as Milky the Clown, who shared the airwaves with Danny Thomas. Claire passed away in Detroit on Halloween of 1994. What other famous magician also passed away in Detroit, also on Halloween, in 1926?
What?
Claire Cummings was a radio magician known as Milky the Clown, who shared the airwaves with Danny Thomas. Claire passed away in Detroit on Halloween of 1994. What other famous magician also passed away in Detroit, also on Halloween, but in 1926?
I only know one magician from that time period, so it better be it, Ren.
I would consider writing them down.
Yeah, that's the one. We're
How
ready.
Confident are you, Tara?
Yep.
I'm ready.
You ready? Ron's ready? All right, reveal your answers. Houdini, Houdini, Houdini. Everybody got it correct. The answer is Harry Houdini. His real name was Eric Weiss. He was a Hungarian-American magician who got his start in vaudeville. He was well known for his ability to escape handcuffs, chains, ropes, slung from skyscrapers, straitjackets underwater, and even a sealed milk can filled with water. He died from a ruptured appendix and was buried in a bronze casket that had been created for an upcoming buried alive stunt.
Oh.
Where is he buried?
I wonder if he's still in it.
I think he is. You can learn more about Claire Cummings, the radio magician, by checking out Holy Donors Season 1, Danny Thomas, the Extraordinary One.
The radio magician. I want to point that out to everybody listening. He was a radio magician.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
It is tough to do.
I feel like that's something that I should aspire to be. I mean, right? I could be a radio musician, radio millionaire, radio...
I hear it. Sounds like you could be a radio chef.
Yeah, excellent. I can just read from a cookbook over and over.
It's delicious.
Ron, you and I, let's enter the radio sexiest men alive contest. I think we'll come in first and second. I don't know who's first, but...
I've got a face for radio.
Face for radio. I love that line.
All right. Are we ready for question number 4? See if this makes sense. This was the toughest question to word. The Diocese of Springfield, Cape Girardeau in Missouri, the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, and the Diocese of Springfield in Massachusetts are an example of three dioceses that are each in different states but are named after the same city. In the U.S., there are 4 other instances of a pair of dioceses that also share a city in their name but are in different states. Name one of those 4 city names. This does not include Eparchies or other Catholic rites.
What's Matt writing so fast?
I know.
Can you read it again?
I'll read it again. The Diocese of Springfield, Cape Girardeau in Missouri, The Diocese of Springfield in Illinois and the Diocese of Springfield in Massachusetts are an example of three dioceses that are each in different states but are named after the same city or have the same city in their name. In the U.S., there are four other instances of a pair of dioceses that also share a city in their name but are in different states. Name one of those cities that the pair shares in common.
Now I'm guessing. I'm second guessing myself.
I'd like to first guess myself.
I don't. Okay, that's a hard one. I have to try to think regionally. I'm trying to think regionally.
Well, I have a couple guesses, but I'm going to have to go with one, right?
Yeah, but don't I'll be so quick. Ones.
Yep, pick one. You just want one answer. If you give two cities, you'll get the answer incorrect. So write down one city.
Yeah, I did one city, and then I write down my other guesses on the bottom.
Four other cities that a pair of dioceses are both named after, but in different states. Matt, do you feel confident in your answer?
No, not at all.
Wait, I
felt more confident with Houdini.
How about Mike and Alexandra? Do you feel good about this? Not at all.
50%.
Okay.
I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about my answer, Ren.
All right. Ron's feeling good. Tara? Yeah. Does everybody have an answer?
I have an answer.
I wrote down all four cities, but I wrote down one on top.
Okay, circle the one that you want to be your answer.
I did.
Okay. All right, let's do it. Everybody reveal your answers. Ron says Portland.
That's a good one.
Matt says Kansas City. Tara says Arlington. Mike and Alexander say St. Louis. The correct answers are Kansas City, Lafayette,
yes!
Portland, and
yes!
Rochester.
Oh,
what was the last one?
Ooh.
Rochester.
Oh.
Rochester, New York, and Rochester,
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Oh,
so the four pairs are the Diocese of Kansas City in Kansas and the Archdiocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph in Missouri.
Ugh.
The Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana and the Diocese of Lafayette in Louisiana. The Diocese of Portland in Maine and the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. The Diocese of Rochester, New York, and the Diocese of Winona, Rochester, in Minnesota, which is the most recent one. I grew up in the Diocese of Winona, and it changed its name to the Diocese of Winona, Rochester, very recently. All right. Marker for keeping track of the score just died.
I'm batting 100%.
Ron is on fire.
He doesn't even work for the church. It shouldn't count.
That was a geography question. Those are two large cities.
I know. I was thinking Arlington, Virginia and Arlington, Texas, but I don't know where Arlington, Texas is. I think it's in Dallas area.
It is.
Tis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Cowboys are from, I think. Cowboys play there.
All right. Are we ready for question number five? We'll get a scoreboard check after this question. Question number five. Simple. How many books are in the Old Testament of a Catholic Bible?
Oh.
How many books are in the Old Testament of a Catholic Bible? In full disclosure, I wrote this question, wrote down the answer knowing it, fully knowing it, and decided to look it up to make sure and realize that I was totally wrong. Hopefully you guys are more confident, more correct than I was.
I like how you threw in Catholic Bible.
Yes.
Got to be specific.
I know, and I feel like that could throw me off.
What's it called? I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right.
Pentateuch. Right? Pentateuch?
I think you're thinking Deuterocanonical.
Deuterocanonical. Oh.
Yeah.
Pentateuch is the first five?
Yeah.
My streak is
over.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
Does everybody have a number written down?
We have a number.
Yeah, I have a number too.
I do too, but I don't know.
I don't feel good about it.
How many books are in the Old Testament of a Catholic Bible? Please reveal your answers. We got the Foley saying 46, Ron saying 33, Matt saying 47, Tara saying 45. We do have a correct answer, and it is the theologian. It is 46.
I knew it was close to that.
I did too. And I was trying to count and like,
I had no idea.
The song in my head, you know, when you the Bible song with all the books.
Yeah.
Matt, I actually think 47 is the Eastern Orthodox answer. I think they got one more book than we did.
Hey, I'm throwing in the red flag. I want a official review of this question right here.
Yeah, but we were already told FRPs didn't count for the last one, so you're not going to get this one.
Or you just convert to Greek Orthodoxy and you'll be a superstar trivia guy amongst them.
Well, that's great.
So the Old Testament and Protestant Bibles has 39 books. They do not include the books of Tobit, Judith, 1 Maccabees, 2 Maccabees, the Wisdom of Solomon, Sirach, Baruch, and parts of Esther and Daniel. So after 5 questions, let's do a score check. We have Mike and Alexandra at 3, Matt at 3, Tara at 3, and Ron in the lead with 4.
Wow.
Oh, I'm never going to hear the end of this if he wins. Come on, guys.
I need some non-religious questions, and I'll be all set. More states.
All right. Are we ready for question number 6?
Let's go.
Scripture does not give us the names of the 3 wise men that visited the infant Jesus at Epiphany, but tradition does. Name one of the 3 wise men.
Do we get extra points if we can name all 3?
Just one. Give me one name. Give me more than one name, you'll get it wrong.
I forget that name, but we saw it in that musical we went to, Tara.
Hamilton?
No, we didn't. We went to some, he's rumored to be the only black wise man, and they were singing about him. They had a lot of songs about him, and I can't remember his name.
The bonus question is which one was supposed to be the
I think it was,
one?
Hey, Ron, I think it was Drake. I think that's I what think
it was. The hint, it's a... one of the best restaurants and name of the best restaurants in New York City as well.
Oh yeah. Okay. Great.
It's a famous restaurant.
Pizza place.
One of Taylor Swift's favorite restaurants as well.
One of my 9-year-old was made one of the 3 wise men in the Christmas pageant. That was very exciting.
Oh, nice. Okay.
My 7-year-old is very excited. After 5 years of being a lamb, he is now a shepherd.
Moving up.
Oh yeah.
That's so cute.
From the enlisted to the officer corps.
<That's right. laughs> All right, does everybody have an answer written down? Name one of the 3 wise men. Please reveal your answers. All right, Mike and Alexandra say Caspar or Gaspar. Ron says Benjamin. Matt says Maliki. And Tara says Balthazar. Malachi. Wow. All right, so the answers. The correct answers are Caspar or Gaspar. Melchior.
Ah!
So I don't think we're going to give it to Matt, but we got the Foleys and we got Tara getting it correct.
Balthazar, that was the one I couldn't think of.
Matt was thinking of that Bing Crosby song.
Hey, that's a great song and a great movie, too.
Yeah. So you were vibing on that, so you're good.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it was. That's what it was. I do have to say my spelling is not the greatest. When I was in 4th grade, we went to a one-room schoolhouse, and I got out on a 3-letter word. I misspelled it.
What word?
I can't even remember what it was offhand, but it was something I should not have missed. I should not have missed it.
Why? Could be a hard word to spell.
That's right. Seriously. That's right.
Spelling does not matter in this game, but that was not quite close enough. Sorry, Matt. All right, are we ready for question number 7? You're going to love this one. I had to pull a little quote here to give it a Catholic tie-in. G.K. Chesterton once said, "The chicken does not exist only in order to produce another egg. He may also exist to amuse himself, to praise God, and even to suggest ideas to a French dramatist. Excluding Antarctica, there's only one country in the world where chickens are not kept. What country is it?"
You really call that a Catholic tie-in?
I do. Excluding Antarctica, there's only one country in the world where chickens are not kept. What country is it?
Wait. I'm calling foul. Antarctica is not a country.
Yeah, it's a continent.
True. It's a continent.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Excluding Antarctica, I didn't want anybody to answer Antarctica because that's not the correct answer. Forget about Antarctica. There's a country.
Country or continent where there are no chickens?
One country. This is a country.
No chickens, huh? Wow.
Mike and Alexander, do you have chickens?
We have chickens. Go ask our chicken. We have to think for a second.
I have 2.
I have no idea, so I'm just throwing something out there.
Put some pressure on you. I ran this question by my wife beforehand, and she got it correct.
No chickens, huh?
So it's not impossible. How do you feel, Tara?
I have 2, and I think I'm going to go with the more logical choice, but it could be wrong.
Well, you know, I'm going to try something here.
Matt, you have an answer. Is it correct?
No, it's definitely not correct. I'm going to fully gain the tail end and back end of this competition and lose gracefully with this one.
Okay, I just have a guess.
Everybody has an answer written down?
Yeah, feeling good.
All right, what country does not have chickens? Reveal your answers. See, the Foley's with Vatican City, Ron with Saudi Arabia, Matt with Greenland, and Tara with Vatican.
Or correct answer bar.
is Vatican City. Foley's and Tara.
Should have took the Catholic thing.
Yeah, that's I originally had thought Slavbard, but then I thought I would be more logical.
Ren, yes. I don't want to be controversial, but Vatican City may not have chickens, but are they a nation of chickens? I don't know how edgy you want this trivia night to go.
All I can say is, although there are no chickens kept within Vatican City, they do keep them 26 miles away at Castel Gandolfo, the Pope's residence there. I've had that question in my back pocket for quite a while. I've been waiting to use it somewhere, and I wanted to use it so bad. I had to look up the Chesterton quote to fit it in there.
Well, I mean, Vatican City worked. I mean, that's Catholic. I mean, come on.
Yeah. When you said your wife got it, that was the tie-in for me.
Yeah, like, me too. We also
have chickens. When I first time I heard that question, I went the same direction as Matt. You said Greenland. I was like, maybe Iceland, but there is a there is a breed of chickens called Icelandic. So I was like, that doesn't seem. I don't know.
Also, nice misdirection with Antarctica. Like that was, so then you naturally were thinking cold, so Greenland.
That's why I chose Slavbard. I was thinking like the seed vault there, so maybe they don't have birds of prey.
I don't know if Greenland's considered a country. I think it might be a territory.
Same thing
with Slavbard, it's a territory, so it wouldn't be a country.
Greenland's not a country?
It's part of it's administrative district of Denmark. Wow. So it was Slavbard. That's why I didn't answer Greenland, because I thought the Arctic question was trying to throw us onto the cold. Then I went to the religious question with religions that may not eat chickens. I don't know.
Ready for question number 8?
Yep.
This word, often used in ecclesiastical titles, is a Latin word that means representative, helper, or substitute.
Should I know this? Should I know this, Tara?
Logic. Think logically.
Lawyer speak or something.
I hear what you're saying, but there's no logic going on right now with anything I can come up with.
So, Matt, I don't think you've played trivia with me before, but I am uber competitive and crazy. And so Ren knew that when he was getting me roped into this, that I was going to be like...
I don't know how to spell it, but I'm going to try something.
I played trivia with Tara and Ron just a few months ago, and I was in Indiana, and it got a little bit wild.
Yeah. I think we're big trivia buffs as a family, so.
Does everybody have an answer written down? Not quite. Matt's working on it.
Tara does.
I do, but I spelled it wrong, and I'm wrong.
Spelling doesn't matter. As long as we can understand and you're close. All right. What word, often used in ecclesiastical titles, is a Latin word that means representative, helper, or substitute? Show your answer. You have the Foley saying vicar, Ron saying lady, vicar. Matt saying deacon, Tara saying deacon, and the answer is vicar.
Yeah. I was so sure.
When Mike saw deacon, he was like, oh, that's it. It's deacon.
But vicar is more... Latin, so like deacon's the English version.
That's right. Deacon is Greek.
I really had no idea. I just came up with a name.
Some examples of vicars include a parochial vicar, who is a priest assigned to a parish in addition to or in collaboration with the parish priest or rector. A vicar general, who is the principal deputy of the bishop in a diocese for the exercise of administrative authority. And of course, the Pope, who carries the title of Vicar of Christ.
Okay, I want to point out how Ren Baton switched us from the beginning of this. He said that this is not going to be geared toward the only doctor in this competition. Yeah, there's twice where
Mike is also just annoyingly good at trivia in general. It could be trivia about chickens or countries. He's annoyingly good. That's why we're a team tonight.
Let's do a score check. We're 8 questions in. We have the Foleys at 6 questions, correct? Matt is at 3. Tara has 5. And Ron at 4.
I got to beat Tara. I'll never hear the end of it.
This next question, I will admit, I wrote specifically for Tara. So you better get it correct.
Taylor Swift. Got it.
Question number 9. This singer from Fullerton, California, is known to have waited for a formal annulment process to be carried out in the Catholic Church for a previous attempt at marriage before proceeding with her marriage to Blake Shelton.
Oh.
This singer from Fullerton, California, is known to have waited for a formal annulment process to be carried out in the Catholic Church for a previous attempt at marriage before proceeding with her marriage to Blake Shelton.
I think we could get the doctor on this one.
Quick answer.
Some facts on that. So Blake Shelton is actually an Oklahoma
guy.
I've driven by his home that he owns in Oklahoma many a times. And our capital campaign, we actually made a donor visit with him and was not successful, but we still were able to do it. So
was his spouse there?
They were not spouses at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's had
Does
a couple
everybody
of
have an answer before we give away too many clues here?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, reveal your answers. All right, Ron says Gwen Stefani. Matt says Christina Aguilera. Tara, Gwen Stefani. Always Gwen Stefani.
I'm glad. We know the now why they did not make the gift, because they didn't know the wrong game. Oh, that's Christina, would you please prayerfully make a gift? Oh, I'm sorry.
You picked the wrong chair.
You will, if you know anything about me, you will realize that when it comes to famous people, I can't keep their names straight. Athletes, I've got. Famous people, no. Ask me who sings any song, and I'm going to get it wrong.
I could not pick out a Gwen Stefani song if you played it for me. But I just want to say that when you stand in line at the grocery store, pay attention.
Yeah.
It's the only way I know this.
Matt got caught in a spider web.
I did.
One of her songs.
Yes.
100.
Ron is just a big fan of The Voice, so he watches The Voice a lot.
No doubt about it. With one question to go. We have Mike and Alexandra with 7 points. Matt still at 3. Tara has 6. And Ron has 5. So this last question could come down to the Foleys and Tara.
Oh, don't feel good about that.
Question number 10. After the death of his wife during childbirth, this 7th century saint withdrew to the forest and gave himself completely to hunting until one day, on the morning of Good Friday, he encountered a stag with a crucifix floating between its antlers. And if the Foleys get this wrong, shame, shame. After the death of his wife during childbirth, this 7th century saint withdrew to the forest and gave himself completely to hunting until one day, on the morning of Good Friday, he encountered a stag with a crucifix floating between its antlers.
700s?
7th century.
7th century.
600s?
Matt, do you have an answer?
I don't know.
Mike is puffing his pipe confidently.
I know. It's probably some weird, obscure saint.
At my parish, we have a religious sister whose dad was a 7-time world champion at pipe smoking.
He was a what?
A what?
7-time world champion pipe smoker. They got 2 ounces of tobacco and 1 match and had to make it last as long as possible. We thought, wow, he's got like some kind of skill. And we realized he won those 7 over like 60 years. So it was just like he just kept entering every year. And once in a while you get lucky. So I don't know if there's really skill to it.
No, there is skill to it. There really is.
There is skill.
Mike can do the same thing but he has to just use one lighter.
That's right.
One lighter and he can do the same thing. Yeah. Really good. Here, look, very good.
He goes, 7th century saint who withdrew to the forest until he encountered a stag with a crucifix between his antlers on Good Friday. Please reveal your answers.
I just want to say, I hope mine is obvious that I am BSing because I have no idea.
We have the Foley saying St. Hubert, Ron saying Francis, Matt saying St. Nicholas, and Tara without an answer. The correct answer is St. Hubert. And that's going to seal the victory for Mike and Alexandra.
Thank you, Ren.
at least we kept him going until the last one.
After the incident of encountering the stag, Hubert entrusted his son to his brother and then joined the priesthood and later became the Bishop of Maastricht. The stag with the crucifix between the antlers is now widely recognizable as the logo of what beverage? Anybody know?
Jägermeister.
Oh!
Okay.
And this whole trivia game has been sponsored by Jägermeister.
You can learn more about St. Hubert and a little bit about Jägermeister on the Drinking with the Saints podcast. I forgot to write down the episode number, but it would have been November of 2021.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Mike and Alexandra, we don't have a big prize for you, fortunately.
Well, what was this all about?
You have your pride.
But you are the inaugural champions of Back Row Catholic Trivia.
Woo. All right. We're going to have some Jägermeister and celebrate.
No, we won't.
Yeah. Please do it.
Help us all win.
Maybe some of us had some college experience with Jägermeister.
There was never a good experience with Jägermeister.
Now, you have to have a cocktail, and I have the book, and I need to go through it, that has absinthe in it, because I love absinthe. It is an acquired taste, and my team makes fun of me all the time because I have my own little spoon for my sugar cube. And I usually make them drink it, like when we've gone out a couple times, and they hate me. But I think we need to drink more absinthe.
Yeah,
be more green fairies.
In all of my life, I don't think I've ever had absinthe.
Oh, it's an experience.
Hardcore.
So, in drinking with your patron saints,
okay,
we have a wonderful drink for St. Thomas Aquinas called the Absinthe-Minded Professor. It's a martini with absinthe, and it really is fantastic. So I recommend that as your gateway drug into absinthe.
Yes.
On that note, thank you everybody for joining us for Back Row Catholic Trivia. Be sure to check out all the great shows that our guests host, the Drinking with the Saints podcast, and of course the Drinking with the Saints book series, Holy Donors podcast, and the Women in Philanthropy podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next time, and God bless.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. Please get in touch with us via email at podcast@drinkingwiththesaints.com.
Or on our Instagram page at Drinking Saints, and find Drinking with the Saints book series at drinkingwiththesaints.com or wherever fine books are sold.
The Drinking with the Saints podcast is produced by Back Row Media.